So, over a year ago, I created something called the 7-Day HA Recovery Commitment Challenge. And I've been running it for over a year. It was this free email-based challenge. So, lots of reading, but you would get an email every day for 7 days to help you overcome and tackle the different but important areas that you need to be checking off in order to get your period back. Now, over time, I have collected some really great feedback, and upon working with all of these wonderful, amazing women, really started to learn even more about what works and what doesn't. And so I'm excited to be introducing to you guys the updated version. It's called the 7-Day HA Recovery Kickoff, and it is totally designed to help you not just commit to the process and have all of your ducks in a row in terms of important factors that need to be tackled and issues that need to be overcome in order to get your period. But the whole thing is now based in video. So you can listen slash watch, and every day for 7 days, we will tackle nutrition. There's actually 2 days of that because it's so big. We'll tackle lifestyle, we'll tackle exercise, your support network, your mindset game. Each video goes from anywhere between 12 minutes and 5 minutes, so it's not very long, but you'll get all of the most important areas and the best tips and strategies for how to implement them. Because I know that going through recovery is hard. There's always an area for each person that is a little bit difficult to execute on. And so the goal, or maybe a lot difficult. So the goal of this challenge is to help you have the awareness, the self-awareness, and the tools and strategies you need to overcome each of the different issues that AHA recovery faces for us. So get on it. It's great if you're at the very beginning of recovery or if you're halfway through. I mean, we never know how far through we are until it's over, do we? But no matter where you're at, it can be a really good opportunity to check in and look for blind spots and areas where you might be dropping the ball in your nutrition, in your lifestyle, in, maybe it's your support network that's a problem. Maybe exercise is something that you are still struggling with making changes to. So check it out. Go to thehasociety.com/7-day-challenge, or the link will be on the website. So it may be in the show notes of this show. It may not be. Just go to thehasociety.com and you'll find it in the footer, or you'll find it in the pop-up that happens when you visit the page. And we will see you for day one of the challenge.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Hypothalamic Amenorrhea Podcast. I'm Danny Sheriff, your host, certified fertility awareness practitioner, functional nutrition counselor, and founder of the HA Society, and of course, an HA recovery coach who has walked where you currently are walking. This is the place to come if you care about getting your period regularly. This podcast aims to educate, inform, and keep you motivated on your period and HA recovery track. So let's dive in. But last thing, nothing on the show should be taken as medical advice, so please seek the advice of your physician.
Okay, everybody, welcome back. Sorry, that was weird. Welcome back to the Hypothalamic Amenorrhea Podcast. As always, we love to bring on people, and Megan has been on the show probably more than two times. Is
Yep,
that right,
the
Megan?
third time's the charm.
Third time's a charm. Okay, and She is probably our wildest story. And so we like to share this wild story, one, because we don't ever want to shy away from it. Two, her experience was so unique that it was really hard for other, well, for her to connect and make sure that she was doing the right thing, or even believe that she was doing the right thing during recovery. So by her sharing her story, it just gives a broader spectrum of what recovery looks like. And it doesn't look like the typical experience. So long story short, she's come on, she's shared her story, she has shared how she recovered, and now she's really kind of sharing like life after recovery. And the biggest thing that I feel like is such the shocker is that Megan was one of those people who had such a wild experience with extreme hunger, but she also gained 100 pounds, which is slightly life altering if we're being real. Anyways, and so she is here before me, a living person who is not curled up in a ball, dead, or hiding from the world, although I'm sure that was part of her journey. But anyways, I'm going to stop talking. Megan, catch us up and then update us on life.
Well, I first want to say I'm always happy to be back on the podcast. I love my HA Society ladies. So I'm sure everyone has listened to my previous episodes, but just to do a quick recap, because I know y'all aren't thinking about me 24/7.
Are you sure? That's such a good point. Good job, Megan. Way to be like on top of it. They know your story.
I'd love everyone to think about me 24/7, but I'm realistic. So where I started at in my journey, I started at a very low weight, and I'm going to give my weights throughout this journey just because you can't see me physically throughout the journey. So that's the only way that you can understand like how big of swings I went through. I do want to caveat that I am a person who I don't believe in weighing myself. I don't think it's necessary. The number on the scale means nothing. And honestly, I was in such a happy place when I was in this limbo world after recovery and like had no clue what my weight was. So just want to provide that caveat because this is going to be very number heavy through my journey. But I started off very low at 89 pounds, realized I was anorexic and also had HA. I decided in June of 2022 to go all in. And I would say after 3 weeks of going all in, that's when the extreme hunger hit. And I had extreme hunger for probably the next 3 months. I recovered my first period after 2.5 months of going all in. And due to my severe extreme hunger case, I was quickly gaining weight. I always say that I felt like I essentially jumped on a bullet train and I had no clue where it was going to stop. All I could do was hang on for dear life and just stay the course. So after I recovered my first period, shortly after that, my extreme hunger subsided. However, my hunger was still very high at that point. I would say it took 6 to 9 months after my first recovery period for it to really start coming back down to a normal level. So then, and throughout my whole journey, the only time I ever got weighed is when I went to the doctors. So then in March of 2023, I went to the doctors. They weighed me at that point in time. That's when I realized I had gained 100 pounds because on my little sheet of paper that they gave me at the end of the visit, it was just in like big bold letters. And it wasn't like that in real life, but just in my mind, in that was really, it said 190 pounds. And I literally like just left flabbergasted. Like I could obviously look in the mirror and see I had gained, you know, a lot of weight. I jumped up to a size 12 and 14, but all of us coming from such like a low weight, Like, I'd never been such a high weight in my life that it's like, I had no clue what like 190 pounds looked on me. In my mind, I couldn't fathom gaining more than 50 pounds. So I think in my mind, I thought like, oh, I gained 50 pounds and that was already a ton. So I was like,
yeah, and let's pause more than here. That. Yeah, let's pause here because I feel like even people hearing 50, they're like, you're savage. There's no way, right? But I actually remember this part in your journey because yes, you were struggling. And you were struggling and still in the process of like being okay, like a little bit of okay. Does that make sense? I mean, like, I just specifically remember that, yes, you were struggling in this season. Hello. You know what I mean? But there was something about seeing, like being weighed, seeing the number that like flipped. Sorry, that's my puppy who has not learned that when we podcast, you be quiet. We're working on with him. But like, I felt like there was like something like just flipped. You know what I mean? Like it almost became real as, you know, like, which is very interesting because the brain will do so much, or the mind, I guess, the mind will do so much to like keep us sane, right? That we almost live, well, think about it, we live in denial land while not having a cycle and like being 89 pounds or 87 pounds and be like, oh, we're totally fine. You know what I mean? And I feel like the mind still tries to protect us as well too when like, sorry guys, whenever, you know, like we experience something as uncomfortable as a 100-pound weight gain, I feel like our mind protects us as well too. But then to see it on paper, it just disrupts everything.
I agree. And that's also why I'm a big proponent of not weighing yourself. Cause honestly, like nothing good comes from weighing yourself. Cause like that shouldn't define us, you know, that shouldn't. And I know that like, I still get triggered by numbers on the scale. And then that makes me judge myself one way or another. So that's just why I'm not a big proponent of weighing yourself. But yes, I think up until that point, my mind hadn't caught up that I had gained that much weight. Like in my mind, I was still envisioning, like I still thought in my mind's eye that I was that lean person, even though I clearly wasn't. And so it does take your mind a while to catch up and see its true self in the mirror. Because in our heads, we always have, I think, a different version of ourselves than what's truth. And that's why sometimes you'll take a photo and you'll look at yourself and be like, that's not me. That's clearly not me, just because we have something else in our head that we are seeing.
Yes. And I remember you I remember us having this conversation because this is something that I experienced. I think this is something that we all experience. I think to your point, it takes our mind so long to catch up with our physical body. And truth be told, our physical body probably changes much more frequently than our body image does, you know? So like, they're not on the same pace. They've never been on the same pace. Like my 3-year-old this morning thought that she was a dragon. You know what I mean? Girl, you ain't a dragon. You know what I mean? But you know, like just like these things where, oh no. She was also a cat this morning. You know what I mean? So my whole point is that like, I don't think it's ever been super accurate. I just don't, because I think back in high school when probably everyone thought that they were so large, like I remember being like, I'm just the biggest person of like my friend group. And then I look back at pictures. So I was like, I was so perfectly fine. Like absolutely not. And so I just think to your point of whenever we go the opposite direction of whenever we spent so many years maybe being underfed, under-recovered, and sick, and then like our body starts to change, that doesn't mean that our mental image has changed as well too. And so whenever we see what we currently look like, whether it's in a picture, which is, you're totally right, absolutely distorted, or in the mirror, and it doesn't match our mental image, I think it's shock that we experience because they don't match up. And because it's not awe or in love, we think that shock means bad, right? When it's really just shocking because they don't match up, mm-hmm. you know? But I think that's a great point. Sorry. That's all I have. You keep going on with this great story.
So I'm at March 2023 now. I'm 190 pounds. I stayed at 190 pounds for like a year, year and a half after my first period. And then very, very slowly over the next 6 to 9 month period, I noticed that, I think I'm starting to lose some weight. And the only reason why I honestly like even noticed it is because my clothes started fitting differently. And so I was just kind of like, okay. And throughout this whole time, like I am doing the same things. Like I am eating the same amount. Like I'm choosing every day to nourish my body. Like even though I know I'm 190 pounds, like I still chose to nourish my body. Like I didn't freak out and go, okay, I got to start cutting my calories now. I was like, nope. Like I got to stay the course. I need to make, like, I know that when I feel myself properly, like I feel my best. I was also introducing workout again at this time. And what was more important to me was to be able to move my body again, to feel strong again, to build my endurance again. And I knew in order to do that, I needed to fuel myself properly. So I chose like wanting to feel good and strong in my body versus wanting my body to aesthetically look a certain way. So I just want to make that point because I know we all get to a certain point in the journey and however much weight you've gained, you're just like, oh my gosh, I can't imagine still eating the same amount of calories knowing I'm this higher weight, but that's like, that's what your body needs. So I'm staying at the same level of calories. Like I'm not dropping my calories and like I'm starting to lose weight. And the reason why I'm starting to lose weight is because I had extreme hunger and I was eating probably 5 to 10,000 calories a day. So that's why I'm losing the weight, because I'm not eating 5 to 10,000 calories anymore. And you shouldn't need to eat that much long-term. Like maybe during a season of your recovery, you need to, but that doesn't need to be your long-term, but you do probably need to stay around that 2,500 calories long-term. Mm-hmm. So even at staying at 2,500 calories, like, you know, my body was starting to lose weight. And then again, I don't weigh myself at home. And so then I went to the doctor's June 2024, so last month, and I knew they were going to weigh me. And I even told Ashley, like I was mentally preparing myself to hear that number. And I thought it was going to be a higher number than I wanted to hear, because that's what my previous experience was. And then the nurse goes, oh, you're 126 pounds. And I just kind of, and that shocked me for a very different reason. Like that was way lower than where I thought I was going to be at. So it's kind of interesting how I got shell shocked, because I heard 190 pounds and that was way higher than I was expecting. And then I'm still getting shell shocked hearing 126 pounds. And I also want to caveat that I'm 5'1". So I'm a short person. So 126 pounds may sound like, oh man, that's super lean again, but being a 5'1" person, I'm still 24% body fat at this point, you know? So this is a normal weight range for a short person. But that shocked me for a very different reason, because I thought, in my head, I thought, oh, if I ever got down to like 120 something pounds, that my body would look different than it does now. Like the weight and my body composition weren't matching up. And that just goes to show that I don't think we're ever going to be 100% happy with our bodies. And don't get me wrong, like I honestly, I love my body. I'm way more just comfortable at this point. Like I still have a healthy amount of body fat on me. I don't have a flat stomach, but I also don't think my body needed to stay at that extreme weight forever too. Like there were different seasons throughout my recovery that I needed to go through. Like I needed to gain 100 pounds for my body to feel safe again, to get my period back again, for my body to trust that I would fuel it properly. But just because we go through one season doesn't mean that has to be your forever season. Like there are many phases of the recover period.
Well, I mean, I love that you said that because I feel like we think it's, well, because dieting is one phase and one phase only, and there is no other life outside of that. So we just lose massive flexibility in general, right? Like we're like, what do you mean there's phases? There's always be the leanest phase of my, that like I can possibly be phase, right? But I also think one thing to point out and one thing I don't want anybody to like miss at all is that, you know, you didn't set out to change your body or to lose weight. You set out to start working out again because it was what you love to do. Like you've been a runner. You're always a runner. You know what I mean? Is it working? I see you pushing buttons. So I was like, are you okay?
Oh, yeah. Can you hear me okay? My headphones just cut out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I got you, girl. But you know, like the point was that like you didn't set out to lose weight. Like you didn't, you know what I mean? Like I remember your like return to exercise was actually like emotional, right? It was super emotional and you had to address a lot of ego. Like that in itself was a journey. Okay. A journey. And it wasn't a journey that started off with the intention of weight loss, nor was it something that like you continued to do because of weight loss. And it's not something that you were measuring and tracking and hoping and, you know, and stuff like that. It was like, I say this all the time, you know, what does it look like? And like, I challenged you to this and by golly, you did it. You know what I mean? What does it look like to not like try to lose weight for a whole year? Like, when was the last time we've even had a season of our life where, like, you didn't diet for a year? Right? Like, that's just, like, wild. That's just so wild that, like, most of us are like, I don't know, like, since I was 10, maybe, since I was 12, or whatever the case may be. And because you did gain, like, 100 pounds, which is well more than anybody that I've ever coached, we did know that your body would eventually let go of some. We didn't know how much. We didn't set out. I never gave you like, hey, I think your body can let go of blank amount of pounds. That never came out of my mouth, right? Because I don't know. Nobody knows. But the challenge was, what does it look like to get back to your life, to re-enter running without the motive of changing your body? And you and I have recently even talked about this, that like, that you know, like if I do over like 10 miles, 11 miles, then like there's something in my brain where it just goes into psycho land. I'm like, oh, well, I did 10 miles this week. I have to do 11 miles next week. And then I have to do 12 miles then. You know what I mean? And so I know for me that, hey, unless I'm training for something specifically, like when I did rim to rim, I'm like, actually like, there's no need for me to push it because I'm not doing a race. I'm not doing anything like that. And I know that it can just ignite an obsessive nature. And that's something that you're currently like, working through, like you're struggling, but you're like, yeah, I kind of noticed that too. And I noticed that you've been updating me that like you are doing longer miles because there isn't anything wrong with you wanting to do that. But my whole point to this was that, what does it look like to leave your body alone and just let it be And the reward isn't weight loss. The reward is like your body being able to achieve homeostasis on its own, and you didn't force it. You didn't have anything to do with it. So that's my rant. That makes me think of that.
Y'all, we have been trying to record this for like 30 minutes. So here we go. Take 580. Hey, did you know that we support people with HA, low progesterone, anovulation, short luteal phases, and all of the types of challenges that come up with infertility?
Danny and I are practitioners that have helped hundreds of women beat HA, regain fertility, and get pregnant naturally.
Mm-hmm. We are here to break the status quo of spending tens of thousands of dollars on IVF treatments for women who have issues that can absolutely be solved naturally.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. So we do this with our signature program that restores ovulation to regain healthy menstrual cycles. And if you're ready, get pregnant completely naturally.
Mm-hmm. On top of our one-on-one sessions, our fertility program even includes a styling session with Samantha Dawn, who is a body positive stylist. She's also our personal stylist.
Yes.
And an expert in helping you to dress your new and nourished body.
This is so important that we don't even need to convince you on how important this is. We want you to relearn how to nourish your body, claim your fertility, and feel confident in your clothes as your body changes. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be painful.
No, yeah, exactly right. It doesn't have to be painful. With a little bit of guidance and support, you can absolutely do this. So if getting your cycle back and if feeling good about the process, if getting pregnant naturally is something you want to do, if you don't want to spend tens of thousands of dollars on medical treatment for something that you don't have to, we have just the place for you to go. So go to thehasociety.com/coaching to learn more about who we are, what we do, and apply today.
Yeah. We looked forward to supporting you.
That was good. Do you like that one?
Yeah, okay. I do like that one. That one's way more us.
Yeah. Boom. There you go.
Yeah, I agree. And also I think it was really important that I did do the body image work because I could see my old self getting to 126 pounds because 126 pounds is still heavier than I've ever been pre-HA recovery. And so I could see my old self being like, oh, I'm not satisfied being 100 pounds. Like my stomach isn't flat. Like I need to keep going. I need to keep losing weight. And honestly, my mindset right now is I don't really want to lose any more weight because honestly, I'm scared of getting too lean again because my HA journey was so horrific that I honestly have PTSD sometimes being like, oh my God, I can't go back there just because like the extreme hunger was so bad. And I also know that if I hit a certain leanness to your point, it's like something a switch flips in my mind that just gets super distorted again. And I just go down really bad paths. So for me, I'm like, this is it. Like, I got to stay right where I'm at. And of course, there's a part of me who goes, man, I wish like I could have a flat stomach. Like, of course, those thoughts go through my head, but not that often. And when they go through my head, I go, no, I'm good. Cause I know what happens, like the other things that happen if I get a flat stomach again, like all the negative things that happen and the control that comes into that, the clinging on to that for dear life and the inflexibility. And I love my flexibility right now. I love that, like this past weekend, I had like 3 different birthday celebrations to go to. So I was eating out left and right. I was like eating so much like cake and cupcakes this weekend that I got to the point where I was like, oh my God, I feel sick right now because of all these sweets. And I didn't have that flexibility before. And I didn't fly off the handle come Monday being like, oh my gosh, I got to ramp up my exercise to account for all the like junk food I ate this week. And I went, like I want to get back to my normal eating and my normal workout routine. And I was good to go and didn't put any more thought into it.
Right. And you know what the other thing is, what I was thinking about is that it's not even the running that, oh my gosh, you're running X amount of miles. Like there's no mileage that makes it bad, quote unquote bad. That like there's like air quotes around that. But to your point, it's the habits before and after. It's the, oh my gosh, I ate out, I need to run more, right? That's where the distortedness crosses over, right? Like training hard, going back to exercise, you know, like that is not the actual issue. That is not the issue. It is the habits surrounding it. So to your point, like you're not using it to mitigate the calories that you had. You're not using it because to earn your worth. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I'm only worthy if I can like run X amount of miles. Meaning there's no point in me doing 1 mile because it's a waste of my time. It doesn't burn enough calories. Like it's not impressive, right? And I know that you've had some moments where you're like, I think I'm just going to do like a shorter run because I'm going to listen to my body rather than it being like, no, I already put on my shoes. I've already said people like the invisible audience already knows me as a runner. What runner just does 1 mile? You know, it's just so much around it that it's not the actual running itself.
Right. And even last week, like I set out and was thinking in my mind, like, oh, I'm going to run 10 miles for my long run today. And you know, it's, I had some sciatic nerve pain flare up. So like I cut it at 9 miles, and honestly, I would have cut it sooner, but I had to make it back to my car. And the other thing I want to mention is you do bring up how right now I am training to do this mountain hike run. It's called Mount Wilson here in Southern California.
Ooh, which I have done. Well, I didn't run it. I hiked it, but yes.
It's 14 miles round trip. So that's like what I've been training towards right now. So yes, I have been the past few weeks, been running like 13, 14 mile long runs. And you know what I've realized throughout this whole process is I'm tired of running 13 and 14 miles. I'm kind of like, this is a lot. And so, you know, mm-hmm. My hike is a week from Saturday. So I essentially have two more like 14 long run Saturdays. And you know what? I'm ready to cut my mileage after this hike, because it's a lot on your body. Like I'm on my feet for like 3 hours. Like it just takes so much to fuel myself. Like the other thing I'm proud about is I'm actually fueling myself properly now that I'm recovered. And so I've honestly been trying to pound like so many gels, so much food, so much water, so much electrolytes that honestly it gets a little tiring trying to like fuel yourself for such long intense activity that I'm kind of ready to cut it back down again.
And yeah, I'm ready to back off.
and I know I think that's the true sign of if you're like coming at things from a healthy mindset is if you have the flexibility to either ramp up or cut it back. Because in my old HA days, I just kept going up. Like there was no coming back down. You never cut your miles. Like the minute I hit 15 miles as my long run, I could only run 15 or more miles. It could never be less than.
Right. 15 less is miles. Never an option. Less is never an option. That's crazy town.
Right. Yeah. Right. So I think that's a good gauge for anyone as they're adding exercise back in, is you always need to have a flexible mindset to cut it when needed. And even if you see that your cycle parameters aren't that great, you need to have the mindset and flexibility to be like, you know what, let me take a step back to let my body catch up, get my cycle parameters where they need to be again before I ramp up again. And to be honest, even as I'm pushing myself to run 14 mile long runs, I still get a little nervous about making my cycle wonky. you know, and I always still keep an eye on it when I know that I'm pushing myself more than my body is used to.
Yeah, I am currently going through that as well too. Not that, just because pickleball has 100% taken over my life and I love it. And I'm just like, have no apologies. But because, you know, having a kid, I don't have the flexibility of whenever and whatever. So like when I play, I do play for like 3 to 4 hours, right? Which is wild. Like I need new shoes already. Like I'm already having other issues. But it's so interesting on the days that I don't play, I do not care about getting in a walk. I'm just like, you know what I mean? I'm just like, I'm tired. I can feel that my body's tired. And you know what? I'm going to sit at my desk and I'm going to work. And then I'm going to play with Nugs whenever she gets home. You know, like I might lift. You know what I mean? But the days in between, I'm like, your girl's sitting down. I am sitting my butt down because I can feel that I'm tired. You know what I mean? To where before, I think I would have been like, oh my gosh, well, I worked out one day, so I got to work out today. I have to do something. I have to keep moving. And now I'm like, absolutely not. Like, apps, you know? And so for me, the reason why I point that out is because I feel like that, to your point, like that is progress where you're like, no, I'm tired. I don't, like, the invisible audience that doesn't exist because they're invisible. No one's going to be let down just because I take a full rest day. I'm not any less committed. I'm not any less like disciplined. You know what I mean? And so it's so interesting. Yeah, I just think it's interesting whenever your motive is purely aesthetic. It's not purely because if like you would have been like, Ashley, it's purely aesthetic back then. I was like, no, I want to get strong. I want to be strong and I want to do all these things. But like it was majority motivated by like aesthetics. You will do some wild and crazy things. But when it really is performance, when it really is just training and because you love it and because you want to get better, you actually listen to your body. You actually start to work with your body. So I feel like that's a huge change too.
Yep, absolutely. And I just want to reiterate and reassure like everyone going through recovery right now is everything is a season. Like just give your body the space and time to make it through the seasons. Like it has been 2 years now since I have gone all in and I have been changing or doing work, whether it's mentally, physically, throughout these 2 years. And so it takes a while, I think, to truly feel like you're on the other side. So I just want to urge everyone to give yourself and your body the time and space it deserves to really work through everything in recovery. And don't freak out if you initially gain a ton of weight. Let yourself sit there, let your body sit there for a minute to figure itself out. And I promise that's when you will set yourself up for a lifetime of success. Like I am perfectly happy with my body now. I'm in a healthy weight range. When I went to the doctors a couple weeks ago, they did the full like yearly annual like blood workup, like everything. And the doctor was telling me, she's like, oh, like all your numbers look fabulous and like good for you. Like you're really healthy. And like that was after I went through this crazy journey. This is after I went through 100-pound weight gain. Like I didn't break my body. My body was never broken. Like our bodies are resilient. Our bodies want to get back to a healthy place. They are resilient. We just have to let go of control and allow our bodies to lead the way, and you will end up in a like place of such freedom where you can eat whatever you want. Your body will tell you exactly how much you need. You'll be able to exercise like a normal amount and you won't be consumed every day with thoughts of your body and food, and you'll be able to live a beautiful life.
I love it. You're yes. And I feel like you like wrapped it up so beautifully that I really shouldn't add anything right there. Like that was good. Yeah. Megan be like writing the best speeches and stuff like that. Oh, okay. Yeah, maybe I should really just end it because I'm just like, that's such beautiful advice for anybody. And it's so real. And it's not coming from somebody who gained like 5 pounds or 10 pounds. Like this is someone coming from who gained an extreme amount of weight that I'm sure doctors, family members, people in general were probably like, oh my gosh, she really let herself go. Or, oh, she's really unhealthy. And it ends up, I think like you and I were talking about this, it ends up being the healthiest thing you've ever did for yourself.
Yep, 100%. And I feel being at this part of my journey, like I feel so like validated and vindicated. Like because for the longest time, I thought I did recovery wrong. Like I couldn't understand why everyone else gained so much less weight than me. And they were getting their periods back. They were getting pregnant. Like, of course, I threw myself a pity party for a while being like, why did I have to gain 100 pounds? And honestly, now coming full circle, like, did those time periods really suck? Yes. But I needed to go through that to grow. And now I'm at such a stable, healthy place that I'm glad I had to go through everything that I did. And I think it was the correct path for me, because the one thing that was beneficial to gaining 100 pounds is when I went back to exercise, because I had an extra 100 pounds on me, like I could only do so much so soon. Like my body truly only allowed me to do what it was ready to do. You know, because I hear people who will jump back into exercise and go back to like 100%, like that literally wasn't an option for me. And now I'm grateful that my body like ensured I took the return to exercise slow, because slow is fast. Like I haven't had any major setbacks. I've been just steadily able to add instead of hitting a point where, oops, I lost my period again, got to go back to square one. So in the end, slow is fast. And if you're ever in doubt, it's better to err on the side of too little than too much.
And again, I feel like you're the only client that has really taken me up on that when I've been like, look here, girl, you can totally get back to this, but it is slow is fast. Slow is fast, you know? And I do think that probably in the terms of exercise, I feel like you're probably one of the most successful clients when it comes to engaging back into exercise and being able to pick up training, you know what I mean? Like just a higher load of training and still be able to keep their cycle, you know, and this isn't like, oh, she gets a gold star. It's just, you're like, you allowed your body to have this extra weight and feel safe. Like, you know, like there's so many people who return to exercise and what they're trying to do is play as how low can I go with my food? How low can I go with my weight? And then can I jack up the exercise? And I'm like, well, that sounds exactly like how we got into HA, except for now you know about HA and you know that you can't go as low, but we're more interested in playing with that line of how little can I eat? How little can I weigh? And then I'm going to have a big ask on my body when it comes to training. You know what I mean? And I just, and so, you know, like I say this all the time, the women who allow their body to carry a little bit of extra weight, I generally do not see them having any cycle issues when they return to training and like heavier loads of training, because they have a reserve. There is just a reserve of energy, you know, like I think about some of my clients where they train really hard, but they are definitely on the leaner side. And so they come in and out of HA a lot. You know what I mean? Like they'll skip a cycle, two cycles, they'll come back in, they'll have a cycle. And while you could be like, oh, well, is that PCOS? No, this is HA. Like you can come in and out of like HA, but also I will notice that their HTMA tests are so depleted because they have they just don't have any buffer at all. Meaning that if you have a really intense training day and you're so lean, you have no reserves at all, right? And so like your stress burn, it's just been really fascinating to see the women that have been more successful are not the women that are the absolute leanest. You know what I mean? And I feel like also when you carry a little bit of weight, your life isn't around biohacking everything. Like I bet you can remember back in the day when like you were training at high levels, but also ridiculously lean, that if you had one bad day of sleep, it just wrecked everything because you have no resiliency. You have no cushion.
Yeah, I agree. And I think a lot of this comes back to the ego. Like you said, like we all have to really confront our ego. And honestly, I still kind of have to beat back my ego sometimes. Like I can feel it creeping in. But this is where I encourage everyone to get really honest with themselves of what are they trying to achieve with their exercise. Like what is your ultimate goal? What is your driving force behind everything? Because when I became really honest with myself, I put too much self-worth on, I had to be like the fastest runner, the best runner. And if I wasn't, then that meant like I wasn't good or something, like all the validation just went away. But when I really peeled back all those layers coming back into running, like, am I anywhere near as fast as I was before? No. Am I okay with that? Yes, because I'm not a professional runner. Like, what was I trying to achieve earlier with trying to be the fastest runner? I was trying to achieve validation because either A, I wasn't getting it in other areas of my life, or I just wasn't giving it to myself. And now that I've come back to running, I just put my ego aside and it's made my life a lot better. Because then if I don't hit a certain mileage or timestamp, like it's okay. If I'm not as fit as some of my other running friends, like that's okay now. Instead of before, that would have been completely unacceptable to be one of the slower runners. And now I'm just happy to be out running again, enjoying the outdoors, enjoying the scenery, just enjoying my life again and taking off all this self-imposed pressure that was never necessary in the first place. And honestly, now I have this one running friend that I always run with. And it's kind of, and she's very much in the mindset that I was previously. And it's just crazy to see the cage that she has put herself in. And that also her life only revolves around running. And she doesn't have other hobbies going on, where now I feel like my life is so rich and full, where it's like, yes, I love running. Yes, I'm part of this fantasy book club. I'm hanging out with family and friends more. That it's just, yes, my running isn't as good as it was before, but every other part of my life is amazing and more rich and full now. And that's such a better trade-off.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, so much goodness. Okay, Megan. So I just feel like you're the person that we're just going to continue following up with. Yeah, just because I feel like your journey is the extreme, and in both ways, right? Like you're back to running, you're back to doing this, you gained 100 pounds. Like, it's just been so wild that, like, and there's so many life lessons that you have learned. Y'all, if you are not reading her blog on Substack, like, right, like, that's what mm-hmm. you guys need to just give the people places where they can, like, read about, because I feel like you've done a couple blogs really doing, like, the beginning of your journey and just some ins and outs, because nobody goes through this type of transformation without some, like, massive pivotal mindset changes. You know what I mean? And Megan, we just need more of it.
I appreciate the kind words. You can read my blog at substack.com/MeganV, V as in Victor. I'm sure Ashley will also add the link to my blog in the show notes. And if you really want to get into the nitty-gritty details of my journey, just go to my blog. I have a handful of articles just really diving deep into my origin story of just my journey throughout this whole process, how I swung from 89 to 190 to 126 pounds. There's all the juicy details if you want to go read more.
Yes, yes. All right, everybody. Megan, I enjoy you. Also, Megan scouted the Zion trip with us.
It was amazing. One is on the fence about whether they should do it or not. It is well worth it. The Angels Landing hike, where you're just, like, high up at the top of the canyon, there are breathtaking views. There are these cute little chipmunks. And then
that means she's not supposed to be feeding.
And then, you know, hiking through the narrows, like, you hike through this beautiful just river. Like, it's so surreal. Like, where else in the world can you hike through this, like, winding river? And then on top of it, just being, because not only did I do the scouting trip, but I did the Sedona retreat trip as well. And just being among other HA ladies, like, it just filled my soul. And all the personal development work at Danny, Ashley, Misha do with you is so worth it. Like, on the Sedona trip, we all cried at one point in time. Like, it was a very healing
cry. I mean, you're not mandatory to cry. You don't have to, but like, it can be healing.
Absolutely.
It can be healing. Okay, beautiful people. Well, we will do all the links. So the links to Sedona, the links to her blog, all the things, because you guys need to read it. All right. Have a good one.
Thank you. Bye now.
Bye.
Hey there, it's me, Danny, and I want to tell you about Temp Drop as a fertility awareness method tracking option. So many of you guys know that we actually recommend the fertility awareness method both as you're going through recovery and 100% after you have gotten some cycles back and you're starting to move forward for the rest of your reproductive years. So Temp Drop itself is a wearable fertility monitor, and we love it. It's a wearable device, so you put it around your arm and you can use that instead of taking your temperature manually with a thermometer each morning. So I'm personally a big fan of the manual tracking. All of us at the HA Society are, and that's the method that we use, you know, just using a good old thermometer. We use that with our clients because it's the best way to use it as a diagnostic tool, as a practitioner. And it's also the best way to ensure, if you're trying to avoid pregnancy, that you don't get pregnant. However, manual temping, for many reasons, is just not always an option. When you're in the middle of recovery, again, we do recommend manual temping, but once you're cycling, the Temp Drop is actually a really great hack. So it gives you basically everything you need to effortlessly track your fertility status, like where you are in your monthly cycle. So you wear the Temp Drop sensor while you're sleeping for accurate basal body temperature readings without the stress of early morning wake-ups. So I personally love this because with a toddler, my wake-up times are all over the place, and the occasional sleep disruptions make using an oral thermometer a lot more difficult. So TempDrop's accompanying charting app enables you to track an array of symptoms alongside your basal body temperature. This includes tracking your cervical mucus if you've been using OPKs, and then it also gives you sleep insights too. So you can combine these fertility signs all in one place, and that will help you identify your fertile window, confirm ovulation, plan for your period, and if you're trying to get pregnant, you know, identify whether or not you are pregnant. So whether you're trying to conceive or avoiding pregnancy, or you want to chart for health reasons like HA recovery, making sure your cycle's not slipping back in the HA direction, TempDrop makes fertility awareness accessible to all women, even if you don't have regular cycles or sleeping patterns. So track your ovulation in real time with the TempDrop, and we are lucky enough to have a 15% off code. So if you go to their website, they're usually having a sale, but you can stack this code on top of the existing code. So just go to tempdrop.thehasociety.com and use the code AFHASociety. I think too, if you just go to tempdrop.com and use AFHASociety at the checkout, that will work too. So happy temping and good luck.
This episode is brought to you by Grassland Nutrition Beef Liver Capsules. Did you know that in terms of nutrient density, beef liver actually blows vegetables and fruits out of the water? If you're a client of mine, you have already been instructed to eat beef liver either fresh or in capsule form. I recommend it for anyone and everyone who is, of course, dealing with amenorrhea and fertility challenges out there, but I may even recommend it for just everyone in general. Get your husbands on it, get your partners on it. If you have a history of HA and add on top of that maybe a history of the pill, maybe you've been pregnant before, you know, through treatments or other, like you've just, your body's been through anything, you know, you're absolutely 100% dealing with a nutrient deficiency of some kind. And while it's true that testing is going to be the best way to understand those exact deficiencies, eating nutrient-dense, real food is going to be one of the most important next steps that you take with or without testing. So I've been using and recommending Grassland Nutrition Beef Liver Capsules for years now, and the capsule form makes it so easy to get your liver in every day, and I appreciate the transparency of this product in particular above others. So in case you're wondering, it's completely natural. This is freeze-dried beef liver in capsules. It's organic, it's made from Australian beef, and my favorite of their products is the liver with kelp because of the iodine from the kelp, which is important for overall thyroid function, which is often low in women with underperforming hormones. So rather than eat seaweed snacks every day, I get to take this beef liver with the kelp for my iodine. So if you're recovering or working on a fertility journey right now, do not skimp the nutrient rich source of beef liver. Get 10% off your order with the HA Society and support your favorite podcast along the way. They ship to most countries, so you should be covered. Just go to grasslandnutrition.net and use HA Society, just HA Society, at the checkout for the 10% off. That's grasslandnutrition.net with the code HA Society.
Thank you so much for listening today, guys. Please subscribe to the podcast, and if you could head to iTunes specifically and leave a rating or review, that would help so much because it makes it easier for other people with HA who are Googling around to find the podcast really easily. So if you do that, you're doing a service to all of the women.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.